are back, and we're talking to Peter Meissen, who has what is a rather elegant idea, and that is to hook the world up on one giant power grid and share the power as needed. And this, of course, will reduce the amount of generation that is going on. Isn't that about right?
Well, that's certainly a part of it. And the critical part right now, we can bring this back to home just to the United States or North America or really any region, is you want to look at the renewable energy potential of your region. Most of us have seen this great poster that's come from NASA, the Earth at Night poster, and we have a copy on our website. It's called our website, by the way, is geni.org, and that map shows the lights of the world at night, all kind of pieced together, and there's many fascinating elements to it. You know, one of the interesting things are there's 1.5 billion people that aren't represented on that picture because they have no lights, right? So they're living, and you'll see actually those areas, they have fires that show that are burning to meet their energy needs. But all the lights on there are, that we see on there on this great Earth at Night map, are essentially 99.9% are linked via grids, but most of those lights are all powered by fossil fuels, coal and natural gas primarily around the world, and the issue of climate change is certainly on the agenda of most countries, and many are doing things about it now. Even states around the United States are leading in our country. But what you realize is that in some states you are blessed with lots of wind resource. It happens to be in the United States, North, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Colorado. Some states are blessed with solar, clearly Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico. Interesting statistic with just the footprint of Arizona and New Mexico. It's about an 800 miles square. I don't want to get exact on the numbers. I would misspeak them. But that footprint is enough to actually power the electrical needs of the world if you wanted to. Now, you wouldn't put all your solar installations there. You would put them around the equatorial deserts, and then you're meeting your daytime needs with your solar energy of your region. So those are two of the renewables. There's lots of biomass on the in the Midwest and in the eastern part of our country. There's geothermal along the Pacific Rim up and down the California Oregon coast. Not always where people live. You know, I just outlined some very abundant resources. The Department of Energy has said there's enough wind in our northern Midwest states to meet all of the electrical needs of the United States. But nobody really lives there. It's farmers and cows and ranchers, right? But they now are actually developing a lot of that resource as a second harvestable crop, and they've called it that.
What is this now? Go over that again, because
large windmills. You know,
yeah.
The big ones now. They
okay.
used to be small ones that a lot of people saw them in the Palm Springs area of California,
right,
or east of San Francisco in the Livermore area. Those were the early windmills that spun really quickly, didn't produce a lot of power, and they were built for a lot of the wrong reasons, tax reasons at the time, and they weren't as efficient as what in our learning curve, the utilities, and one of the leading utilities in this effort is FPL, formerly Florida Power and Light, is one of the largest wind developers in the United States today.
You got their name wrong.
I'm sorry?
You got their name wrong.
What did I get wrong?
FPL, you mean?
It's FPL, is it not?
Yeah, it's a Flicker, Pollute, and Loot.
All right. Well, I know also one of the things they do, Chuck, is they are one of the largest developers of wind in the United States today. Utilities have deregulated and have been allowed to obviously invest in new parts outside their service territory.
Sure.
And they are wind developers, and they're going across in Texas, in these northern states. They are contracting with ranchers, putting down 3 and 4 megawatt size power plants. Now, these are tall, 100-meter tall turbines large rotor blades that spin very slowly. They can also deal with winds of different speeds, variable speed wind generators, which is a challenge originally. And that's utility scale. That's the stuff you can feed into a transmission line, move over long distances. Just recently, Texas is now the leader of wind in the United States. Interestingly, you know, they're not just oil and gas producers there. I think there's 2,000 megawatts of wind that's now installed in Texas. A lot of that in the northern part of the panhandle that has to then go into their transmission system to get it to, you know, the demand centers are in Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio, and then they can actually transmit it across the border into their neighboring states through some things called DC links, some back-to-back DC links. So they do export it outside their service territory as well.
The one thing that amazes me is how would you say hook up England to American grids, because of the fact the power is different. The cycles per second, et cetera.
In some states or some countries they're on 50 hertz cycles per second, and we're on 60, correct?
Right.
And the way it's done, and this is this was a problem, obviously, that the engineers had to solve. There are two currents, if you will, and if you go back in the history, there's the alternating current, the direct current.
Right.
Tesla and Edison sort of fought it out early on, and Westinghouse was in there. Tesla was the genius behind alternating current that gave us that. Edison wanted DC, But again, in terms of our day-to-day usages and most of our plug-in appliances, they're all alternating current. But Tesla also was the genius that gave us some of the early thinking around hooking these different currents together and how you do it. And there's direct current, which you can actually put in this back-to-back DC tie, it's called, between a 50 hertz grid and a 60 hertz grid. It decouples the systems so that they're not going to knock each other out because of these different frequencies. And that back-to-back system may be just a few meters long in terms of a bar, but that allows you to link systems. An example of that going on right now in the world is the five Gulf States Cooperation Council: Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates. And the big gun there is Saudi Arabia, which is on 50 hertz. The rest are on 60. So that's exactly what they're doing there. And they do it also for these long-distance transmission systems. Chuck, we have them in the United States between the Washington State, Columbia River system, coming down the Pacific Intertie, which is a DC line into Southern California.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't mean to stop you on your roll here, but let me do this. I got to do a two-minute break. But when we come back, how do we go in the future? How do we marry solar and wind technically? I have some ideas, but perhaps the audience might want to know, and I'm sure you have the answers. Peter Meissen and I will be right back after this.
Quicken Loans knows when your mortgage payment is too big, it follows you everywhere.
Hey guys, where are we going?
Hi, Big Mortgage.
Dad and I are going car shopping.
Not without me.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
A mortgage payment that's too big can drive every financial decision you make.
Scooch over, little man. The Big Mortgage is your dad's constant companion.
Dad, the Big Mortgage is squishing me.
I'd really like to get a bigger car.
The Big Mo says no.
Don't let your big mortgage payment push you around. Pick up the phone and let Quicken Loans show you how to lower your payment up to 33%. That's a third off your payment. Call 800-591-0722. Quicken Loans makes it fast and easy to say goodbye to your big mortgage payment.
You're not the boss of us.
R2.
Or not.
R2.
Or not.
R2. Am I going to have to separate you two?
Call Quicken Loans at 800-591-0722 today. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call Quicken Loans at 800-591-0722.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, the television show that America grew up watching, now available on DVD. 20 episodes are yours for just $29.99. That's the money-saving price if you order online from RetroTelevision.com, RetroTelevision.com. Wild Kingdom featuring Marlon Perkins, and all the regular features that made this show a favorite family watching habit. Sorry, phone orders are not available at this low price of $29.99 for 20 episodes. Order this set now and get 3 episodes with famed primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. Order from RetroTelevision.com or go to www.TalkStarRadio.com. Save 25% with the online offering Wild Kingdom from RetroTelevision.com and TalkStar Radio.
We are back with Peter Meissen. Peter, how would you hook up both solar and wind? How do you couple these guys together? Because although a wind generator, I can see it putting out AC, solar, as you know, puts out DC, and you're aware of that, and it puts out typically low voltages unless you put all the solar cells in series. How do you meet that challenge?
And solar can be done two ways, and I certainly encourage any homeowner, whether it be in Florida or the southern states, you know, through across the south that has good solar radiation, any homeowner that has a good south-facing roof and hopefully some tax credits from their state or from their utility to consider doing that. And that's a great way, not only to reduce your own electrical bill to zero, but I say to increase the value of your home when you sell it down the road, because you can tell that buyer, you're going to have a zero electric bill if you build it right. And so then you put these solar cells. Most of them are these solar cells, like you say, that produce in a DC voltage, and then it goes through an inverter that's right between your normal box on your house, inverts that back to electrical current, alternating current, and then goes into your house. But it's also usually tied to the utility, so that when you're making more than you need during the day, it goes back and goes into the utility grid, and you become a provider or a seller of solar power. And at night, you're actually then using the utilities grid as your provider to run your television and your refrigerator at night. That's the house version.
So
that's a tough one to get, obviously, millions and millions of homeowners and businesses to do that. We will also assert that there's I'll call it the utility scale solar installation. There's one in Southern California desert now. It's a different technology. It's called solar thermal troughs, and they're parabolic mirrors focused on a tube of oil, gets very hot, goes through a turbine and a generator, and it's up to about 300 megawatts, I believe, going into the Southern California Edison grid. It's a large array of these parabolic trough mirrors in the middle of the desert, and we have lots more desert, and both my utility in San Diego, SDG&E, and also SoCal Edison are planning more solar installations to meet this new renewable portfolio standard in California by 2010. So they're planning 300 up to 900 megawatt solar installations in the near future to meet that requirement. So it's a known, the challenge with solar and with wind is they're intermittent, right? You're not going to get them, wind's not blowing all the time, and it's not always sunny, so you're going to want to put your solar installations where you get the best solar radiation. Obviously, that's the desert, and in your windy areas, and our best wind resource are, like I mentioned, in those states previously, and it's not always where we work and play, and you, so you need a palette of renewables. You need again a range of sources, so you don't get caught with your pants down and have a shortage during some period of the day, because you have to be generating as much as is demanded, or you're going to have a big short circuit and a blackout like we've seen.
Well, here in the state of Florida, we have the possibility of hurricanes. And it would be rather dangerous to have a solar operation get hit by a big hurricane. I mean, I don't know what it would do to it, but it could certainly cripple it, to say the least. But what I don't understand is how do you make up for the modulations? We'll talk about that when we come back. And that means what do you do when the sun ain't shining and the wind ain't blowing? We'll be back. Hang on.